How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. My voice is starting to come back a little bit. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, how do I sound?
You sound somewhat better. I mean, I'm glad you're feeling better, I guess.
Yeah. I guess that's where it starts. I think that the cough tends to, you know, kind of linger a little bit. Anywho, this has been Locked On Coughs. Talk. And that does it for the only episode.
Locked On Anthony's checkup.
Let's go ahead and get into what we're going to talk about today, though. It's going to be a pretty straightforward show. Half of it's going to be about Magic Johnson talking about the Lakers not going to be stretching themselves in free agency this year. I thought that was enlightening and smart. It was intelligent as well. And then on the other side of that conversation, we're going to talk about LaVar Ball, who has rarely been called smart with his public statements. He talked about not needing Kobe's advice and Lonzo not needing Kobe's advice. I think there's a little bit more context needed there, and it's not as bad as a lot of people made it seem. But people are so sick of hearing about LaVar Ball that you're going to have...
I have a couple theories on this one, actually.
Yeah, I think no matter what, people are going to have a vitriolic response to LaVar Ball. So I think that, you know, he could come out and say the sky is blue and somebody would be like, well, there's a cloud in Oklahoma, you know, and that's kind of the relationship he's kind of given himself with the media and the public right now. So we'll talk about that on the other end. So Magic and LaVar together happily on this Friday edition of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Today's show is brought to you by BloomThat.com. Go to BloomThat.com/Lakers. To take care of your mother on Mother's Day. Hustle now and, you know, try to take care of this. You know, you've already procrastinated at this point, but you definitely want to treat your mother and any other mothers in your life as best as you possibly can. More on that in a second. Find the shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen & Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Harrison, let's talk about Magic Johnson.
I'm always up for this.
All right, so Magic Johnson appears on ESPN2's coverage of the Combine out there in Chicago. Markelle Fultz is participating, which I think is kind of a surprise, right? Most consensus number one picks don't usually participate. And Fultz actually...
Is he participating or is he just doing interviews?
I watched Fultz play today, I think. I watched him play. He participated in the 5-on-5 scrimmage and stuff, so and looked good, as you would expect. But Magic Johnson gave an interview in the middle of the proceedings and said this, quote, "We can sign a free agent if we want to, but I'm really looking to keep the cap space that we have and really try to play in next year's free agent class and not really this free agent class." So I gave my two cents as to why I think this is going on Silver Screen & Roll. You can find that on silverscreenandroll.com. Harrison, what was your first thought that crossed your mind when you heard Magic Johnson say this?
Oh, no, I can't believe he's talking about free agent plans again. But after that, it was, you know, I think this is encouraging. This should be encouraging for Laker fans that want the team to show patience, that want the team to not mortgage the future in order to try and kind of maybe sort of grab the 8 seed. Because, again, I'm really not 100% sure that even if the Lakers do offer up players for Paul George, that they're a playoff team. Actually, I don't think they are. So it would be kind of a short-sighted move, I think, to make a trade. Even though I just said, like, I could see the argument for the trade on, like, our last show. But, I mean, if they can wait and get Paul George for free, then that's obviously a lot better. And based off of this one little soundbite that Magic Johnson had today, it sounds like the Lakers may be up to try and be patient.
Well, this was more about free agents, right? And that's what I...
Well, it's about free, but he's saying wait until 2018, which... Like, that's about – it's not quite winking on Jimmy Kimmel at Paul George, but it's pretty close. I mean, that's when Paul George is going to be a free agent. Everybody knows that.
See, I took it more as the Lakers could improve themselves in the margins this free agency, right? Like, they could go out and try to sign J.J. Redick and provide the spacing that D'Angelo Russell would greatly need to continue to develop his game. And Redick would – at least somewhat help what the Lakers are trying to do this year. Just like, in theory, Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng as players, not, you know, contract aside, in theory, last offseason when, you know, just those two names, Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng, you kind of thought, okay, yeah, maybe their veteran presence would help the kids develop and become more mature. Luol Deng was a fairly useful player for the Miami Heat as of four, so maybe if the Lakers could somehow finagle the minutes and make it so that he can play enough at the four, he can still be useful. And both those guys would come together, and Timofey Mozgov as a role option for D'Angelo Russell and a rim protector for a bad defensive team. Like, those guys, without regarding the contract stuff, those guys in a vacuum might help the Lakers last season. They wound up not helping at all. I greatly enjoyed watching the Lakers play when both those guys were taken out of the rotation. And every single night before I go to bed, I try to find some new way to get rid of those contracts from my life.
You think he's kidding, but he will screen grab and send me trade machine proposals at like 1:45 a.m.
Oh, my poor wife. Like, she at this point probably has – Jen might – know the values of Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng off the top of her head because of how much time I spend talking about how the Lakers could somehow get rid of their deals. I'm not even kidding.
No, he's not.
But what I was saying, though, is that, and I use Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng as examples of the Lakers short-sightedly thinking, hey, we'll get some guys that might be able to help in the immediate, values be damned. And to a certain extent, I was a little concerned, and a lot of fans were really concerned with Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka coming in and making a similarly short-sighted decision to, again, try to improve the Lakers when it's really not in their best interest to get better. Why don't you explain why it's not necessarily in their best interest to get better next season?
I mean, you mean as far as draft-wise, uh-huh. Or what are – yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's really not in their best interest to improve draft-wise next season if they lose their pick, because then that 2018 first-rounder is the only one that they're going to get for a little while, because the 2019 one would go to Orlando if they lose this current pick in the 2017 draft to Philly. Mm-hmm. So it's like we've talked about before on this podcast. If you lose the pick this year, you're also losing the 2019 one. And so the Lakers really should stand pat this offseason if they lose the pick. But I also don't think that they should necessarily make a bunch of big moves if they keep the pick. Because, you know, I just – like, what's the point? I don't know what they're going to do in the West if they trade a bunch of these assets for Paul George. And I guess, like, getting him in the building as maybe a recruiting tool for next summer is helpful, but I think the arguments stand pat overall, whether they keep or lose the pick, but especially if they lose it, are better than the ones to, you know, like, let's make a move for Paul George and see what happens.
All right, so I want to talk about this 2017 free agent class, because I don't think we spent enough time actually specifically talking about what the Lakers have as options there. But we're going to do that on the other side of the break. For right now, let's talk about BloomThat.com. Go to BloomThat.com to get...
BloomThat.com/Lakers.
Yeah, BloomThat.com/Lakers to get all kinds of great Mother's Day deals.
You will get a free vase and caramels with your order if you go to bloomthat.com/Lakers. And they also have discounts on bouquets.
Yep. The benefits of bloomthat.com, most other flower delivery companies, the flowers can be up to 1 or 2 weeks old by the time you place that order, which means when you actually get those flowers, you might have maybe a few days of peak freshness. Bloomthat.com, all of the flowers that you order, they aren't even cut until an order is placed. So if you when you get that order and they ship everything overnight, it's 2 to 3 days old by the time you get those flowers. That means those flowers that you have are going to stay fresh for a way longer period of time. Whichever room you're going to have them in is going to smell way better. And honestly, like, why would you want to give your mom old flowers? Like, that's just going to remind your mom that she's old.
And that you're not a good son, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
So basically, if you want to be a good son, you go to bloomthat.com/Lakers. That's your only option.
Yes, and make sure, you know, everybody's moms are on Facebook. Everybody, all the wives and mothers in your lives are on Facebook. They're going to post pictures about this. They're going to brag to their friends about it. That's the goal here, is that you want to be able to get those pictures so you have all your friends, their significant others, wind up jealous at them. Jealous and upset with them because your friends didn't go to bloomthat.com. So again, bloomthat.com/Lakers to get that special deal that Harrison talked about. bloomthat.com/Lakers. All right, so I wanted to go through this 2017 free agency list here. And the top names at the very top of the list are going to be Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. They aren't going
anywhere.
Okay,
so new big two with the Lakers. That's a good idea. I think they should sign those guys.
I would die a happy man if that somehow came to be. But
make it happen, Mitch.
Somehow I don't think that's actually going to work out. next on the list is Gordon. And I'm running off of Hoops Hype. This is just the order that they have it. HoopsHype.com has it right now. Gordon Hayward is coming off of a very successful season with the Utah Jazz.
Worked out with Kobe once.
I would be shocked if he left Utah. Now, like, Boston fans are all freaking out, you know, about them maybe having a chance because they have his old coach and he's a white American guy. But I don't think that he's going anywhere from Utah. Every report that comes out of there is basically that he loves it there. His family loves it there. He's a quiet kind of guy, and I think he would continue to enjoy building off of a very successful Utah Jazz season, right? So I don't think he's going anywhere. Blake Griffin is next on the list. I'm not a Blake Griffin fan at this point. Yes, all his injuries are freak injuries, but at some point you know I'd like to see him healthy for an entire year. Before, you know, the Lakers commit max money to him, and committing max money to a position that the Lakers already have Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., Luol Deng in theory, and then, you know, trying to sign Blake Griffin to that position.
Blake is better than all of those guys for sure, but you can't consolidate all your resources on one position, and it's going to be hard. Like, moving Deng, good luck.
Yeah, and just look at the situation that Philadelphia found themselves in with Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, and Joel Embiid. It was that they all play the same position, and all the teams across the league knew that they had to move one of those guys, so they wound up taking a pretty bad deal for Nerlens Noel at the trade deadline, right? It was pretty consensusly thought of as, geez, that's really all they got for somebody. Noel showed up and immediately made Dallas a better team. And that's what, you know, with the Lakers, if they do commit money to somebody like Blake Griffin, then you move Julius Randle, and I guarantee you they aren't going to get anywhere near decent value for Randle moving forward.
No, because like you said, everybody would know that they were looking to make that deal.
Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry are next on their list as point guard options. Chris Paul's not going anywhere. We talked about that on a previous show. And that's because he could make upwards of $40 million this year. I think the Clippers, you know, go ahead.
Can I just say, if Chris Paul did sign with the Lakers for whatever reason, and when he was asked why he didn't say basketball reasons, it would just be a horrible injustice.
I would actually, like, request that the Lakers waive him at that point if he didn't make that joke.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so easy. It's not like, even worth make it happen, Chris.
Yeah. Kyle Lowry kind of sort of falls into that Blake Griffin mold, right? Where I don't really want to commit big dollars to somebody who has he ever been healthy in the playoffs? Ever?
I don't really have the answer to that. I don't think so.
Off the top of my head, I feel like every single playoffs, it's like either he gets kind of dinged up right before. I remember last year his wrist was really swollen, so his shooting stroke was way off. This year, I think he had an ankle issue. I just, you know, and again, he's older than you think. Kyle Lowry, I believe, is 31 years old. And it's not like you get younger in the deal that he would be signing. And again, I think you made an interesting point a couple shows again with Bryant where you said this is all sounding like beggars being choosers here, but the Lakers aren't beggars. They don't have to back themselves. Like that was the criticism of Timofey Mozgov and the Waldang was that they convinced themselves that they were beggars and they needed to make these deals.
Yeah, it's like we got to get somebody. And yeah. You don't. You don't have to get somebody. Do what? Run into the buzzsaw that is the Warriors? Like right.
Absolutely. Now, I would love it if like Chris Paul went to San Antonio or Kyle Lowry went to San Antonio. I think that would make the playoffs a lot more interesting. But for the Lakers, it wouldn't make any more sense. I'll finish off the top 10 here and get into some names that maybe make a little bit more sense. Actually, not really. Now I'm looking at them. Paul Millsap, for the same reasons that we talked about with Blake Griffin, minus some of the injury issues, I just don't think he's – how has he only made – okay, he's made $92 million over his career. Thank you. That makes more.
Paul Millsap also, like, we apologize to our listeners for triggering you a little bit with the mention of him because of that whole report that Jim Buss almost traded multiple young players for him.
Yeah, that almost sent me off a deep
dodge end. A bullet there.
Danilo Gallinari, same kind of thing, power forward. It just wouldn't make sense to – and he over the
and you want to talk about
his...
injury prone.
Exactly, yeah. Serge Ibaka, I think of the names that I've mentioned here, and then Drew Holiday was 8. He's ranked above Serge Ibaka. But Drew Holiday makes some sense. Maybe you could try to convince yourself, depending on how much money he winds up getting offered. He's a pretty good defensive point guard.
He's going to get the max to stay in New Orleans because they can't afford to lose him.
Yeah, I'd probably ride with that prediction. Breaking, Harrison reports it. Serge Ibaka is interesting to me because you could put him. Yes, I think he is. You could play him at the five and you could see if he can protect the rim. Now, again, this is all dependent on value that these guys get signed for. But you talked about, you know, maybe getting some center help, and Serge Ibaka would be able to spread the floor as a center. He can, in theory, continue to rim protect a little bit, and he fits pretty well alongside Julius Randle for the very basic reason of he like I said, he can split the floor, spread the floor, and he doesn't need the ball always in his hands to be successful. So that of all the guys that I just listed there, Serge Ibaka is the only one I'd be like, okay.
He's like the first one where it's like, okay, this is a maybe.
This is maybe. But all of this is moot so long as Magic stays true to his word and says it's not worth it. And based on what we just talked about, we just ran through the top 10 most talented players in this 2017 draft class, and none of them really felt like even good fits, right? Like,
yeah, and Serge being in the top 10 is almost as big of an indictment of it as anything.
Yeah, and then you get into the Pau Gasols, the Dwayne Wades, the George Hills, Otto Porters.
Pau Gasol, I'm coming home montage. Get ready.
Yeah.
On the Serge Ibaka thing, too, I mean, it's not like he's been in pristine health for the last little while either. And I mean, he's allegedly 27 years old, but there's always those rumors going around that he's significantly older than that, and his injury history decline over the last several years would kind of make that make sense. And so I just don't know if he's the type of guy that you want to commit big money to if you're the Lakers, because the last thing you want is two Mozgovs.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And
Ibaka's way better than Mozgov. That was too harsh. But he
could very easily turn into a second Mozgov.
Yeah, I mean, he could in like a year or two if he falls off.
Because he's smart. Like, people kind of can't quite wrap their heads around why Dwight Howard fell off as precipitously as he did. And a lot of it has to do with Dwight Howard isn't very tall. Like, he's not nearly as tall as you're led to believe. People think he's like this 7 foot whatever, but when he used to play with Powell, he was a good 2-3 inches shorter than Powell. And Serge Ibaka being 6'10", and he relies a lot on athleticism, as soon as that athleticism goes, there goes Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, say goodbye to your rim protection.
Exactly. So I was happy to hear Magic say that he was looking to stand pat in free agency. Now, we talked about, you know, you could still use your salary cap space, right? They have roughly $23 million based on some of the estimates that I've seen online. They have roughly $23 million in cap space. They could always bring on, you know, a bad contract in the final year along with a draft pick, something like that, where you're utilizing your draft pick, but while also remaining flexible moving forward into next year, right? I just don't think they're going to saddle themselves with any money that extends beyond this next season.
No, not unless they're moving money that extends beyond this next season.
Yeah, yeah. Come on over, Carmelo Anthony. I got this question from a listener, and shouts to Amit. He's really, really nice guy. If you're ever, you know, he puts up tickets online every so often for sale. If you ever are looking for tickets at the last second, he's a great guy to reach out to. But he kind of floated the idea of it. Remember, we talked about Carmelo Anthony for like an entire week, basically.
Yeah, you started a Carmelo Anthony rumor storm,
like news cycle, basically.
Yeah,
but he kind of lofted the idea as an extension of that. Wouldn't a decent way for Carmelo Anthony to waive his no-trade clause is if the Lakers basically go to him and say, hey, if you waive your no-trade clause, you can come over here. We'll waive you. You can be a free agent. You can choose wherever you want to play from here on out. And if they can make it work to where, you know, they take less money on the second year, you know, utilizing that early termination option that he has going on into the following year, then, you know, you could kind of make that work. But for Carmelo, I think he wants to play either in a large market or compete on a title-contending team. This would give him the ultimate freedom to be able to choose wherever he wants to play. Would he waive it for that, do you think?
I have no idea if that's even legal to do that.
I spoke to Eric Pincus about it. He says that basically if you waive somebody who has an ETO in their second year, that automatically gets picked up unless, you know, as part of the deal, that gets worked out, basically.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't even know that was like a legal option under the CBA. I don't see it happening. I think that there are way too many logistical balls in the air for something like that to ever get done. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I'd read up on it. That'd be kind of fun. I'm kind of annoyed at myself that I didn't think of it while I was writing.
Hey, the Lakers said that they're going to have guys trying to look outside the box and find unique ways to make the team better, and maybe that's one of them.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and segue awkwardly to LeVar Ball, who – do you have the quote in front of you, Harrison?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so go ahead and give us the LeVar Ball quote. He dared not pray at the altar of Kobe.
Yeah. He said, I don't need no advice from Kobe Bryant. I don't need advice from Kobe Bryant. Zoe's got to play his game. If they're at practice and he sees something, Lonzo listens to him or whatever, he's good. But it's just not, okay, I'm talking to Kobe now, so now I'm going to be good. If Kobe sees something that Zoe is doing, then go from there. But I'm not trying to pattern after nobody. So LeVar Ball not trying to pattern his game after Kobe Bryant.
That was the first thing that I kind of that I took away from this is like, LeVar, why do you keep on using I in this stuff?
Like, I think he legitimately thinks he's his son sometimes.
I wouldn't shock me at all. So I want to start. Let's talk about this Kobe Bryant quote really quick, and then we'll let that expand into a larger conversation about whether the Lakers should be concerned with LeVar Ball coming attached with Lonzo Ball. Cool?
Sure.
All right. So the Kobe Bryant thing, first off, I've been begging for this kind of honesty from any kind of player. Anytime, you know, they ask, you know, they're asked about Kobe, it's always, oh, well, anytime I could possibly hear from Kobe and anytime I could possibly learn anything from one of the greatest players of all time, then I absolutely have to take advantage of blah, 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 blah. Right? And you hear the same exact quote over and over and over again, and it kind of makes you wonder if it's actually genuine, if it's actual, if that's actual sincere as a response to a Kobe Bryant question. This, I will grant, LeVar is obnoxious. He is annoying. I'm ready for him to go away as much as just about anybody. But I love that he's honest here. I love
It doesn't even sound like he's saying like he wouldn't ever want Lonzo Ball to work with Kobe. It just sounds like he doesn't think it needs to be something that happens. And I don't know that he's necessarily wrong about this.
Yeah.
Many $500 pairs of shoes has Kobe sold?
He's way behind the balls.
Exactly.
Way behind the eight ball. Get it?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, regarding Lonzo and not patterning. So it's tough because this isn't Lonzo saying this. But let's just take it for granted because Lonzo hasn't necessarily come out at any point and said, I don't stand by what my dad says, right?
Well, I think he has said before, my dad doesn't speak for me.
Yeah, but okay. But let's take for – if we just run with LeVar speaking for Lonzo, even though he has said, like you just said, he doesn't. But the whole patterning somebody's game, like every single successful NBA player will point to the people who played before them and say that they took aspects of that person's game and added it to theirs as a means to continue the traditions of the game moving forward. And like this idea that Lonzo Ball is so revolutionary that he doesn't have to do that, like that's where LeVar rubs people the wrong way. That's where people, you know, the gall that it takes, the gumption that it takes to actually feel that way is off-putting. And specifically with the Lakers, I think it's
guy who said that his son would join the Warriors over Steph Curry and make the team better.
Right.
And that was like his introduction to, I think, like mainstream fans.
How do you feel about LeVar Ball? Because he rubs me the wrong way, and I hate analysis when the analysis starting point is I don't like that person. Because I think that winds up painting the analysis too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really – I know – I'm kind of tired of hearing about him, but at the same time, it's something that people care about, so we kind of have to continue to write about him on some level. Or I guess we don't have to, but
yeah,
you know, it's something that people care about. I think he knows what he's doing, and I think he knows that all of this brashness, all of this stuff, it's getting people to talk about him and about his son, and it's getting their name in giant headlines, and it's free marketing. And on some level, you know, I think maybe he learned a little bit from the presidential election that if you come out and you just make these big, brash statements that, you know, people are going to pay attention to you, and that maybe sometimes people are going to start to think that because the media is covering you so much that you're a voice worth listening to. And so I don't know. Those are my LeVar Ball thoughts.
To the point you made about the free advertising, Darren Rovell went on Dan Levitard's show and said that free advertising would cost most shoe companies roughly $50 million because it was trending worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, he had everybody talking about his son's shoes. That's like unheard of for a guy that hasn't played an NBA minute yet. That's unheard of, like, pretty much unless you're Steph Curry and you release, like, you know, the dad shoe 4.
Yeah. And so I think if I separate,
I wonder how
myself,
much that was in free advertising.
What I a bunch to the type of fans.
It was
who,
a great Nike ad.
Yeah, well, I would imagine the type of people who wear New Balances and khakis, like they were thinking, hey, I could kind of up my style here a little bit and get me some steps. Move on over, Under Armour. But anywho, With LeVar, so like I said at the beginning, I try to if I can't, like, I haven't been able to move beyond, I just, this guy rubs me the wrong way. So what I did with the analysis of trying to figure out what's going on there in my own head, why does this guy rub me the wrong way? And maybe I can, by figuring that out, I can move forward and say, okay, why does he rub so many people the wrong way? And I guess my starting point was, I'm fine with arrogance in sports, right? I'm fine with
it's entertaining.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Maybe he learned it from Kobe. Maybe he doesn't need to learn anything from Kobe because he already learned that.
Yeah, and I'm fine with arrogance, period. So long as that arrogance is earned, right? Like, if you're really good at what you do, you can kind of puff your chest out a little bit, right? Now,
for sure,
unearned arrogance is off-putting. Unearned arrogance where you're walking around as if you own every single room that you walk into without having actually done anything, well, then that rubs me the wrong way. That rubs most people the wrong way in a way that even earned arrogance doesn't. And then finally,
I mean, in fairness, LeVar Ball does say that he would have beaten Michael Jordan in one-on-one during his prime. So. Yeah.
And I think with LeVar, where he becomes unique in his ability to rub people the wrong way, and I think where this is coming from, is that not only does he have arrogance that is not earned, but he'll never be able to earn said arrogance. He will never be able to cash the checks that he's writing with his mouth because he's never going to play in the NBA. Now, sure, his son could have success in the NBA. But
and then he did exactly what he set out to do. He made the best basketball-playing sons ever.
Right. But, like, that's still not him. Like, he beat Marcellus Wiley one-on-one on Sports Nation. I think that's the only basketball success he personally has had.
Is that a real segment?
Yeah, that actually happened.
Oh.
Okay. I think he beat him. It was kind of funny. We don't need to find it. Yeah. Google Marcellus Wiley LeVar Ball basketball and you'll find that, whatever. The reason why I think I can't move past, I just don't like this guy, is because he's never going to be able to earn this arrogance that he walks around with. And to me, I can't think of anything more off-putting than that personality trait. And, you know, moving forward with that, I'm trying to – now, Lonzo seems like a really good kid. And by all accounts, teammates loved him, coaches loved him, whatever. But with LeVar, this guy annoys me to a point where I can't analyze. I looked at his shoe and I was actively trying to find ways to hate it. And I wound up writing that it was a knockoff Kobe, and I didn't analyze it without bias because I just don't like this guy. And it's because of the way he holds himself.
I think the natural extension of this is, does this affect whether or not the Lakers should take Lonzo?
Yeah.
Like, organizationally, obviously, both of us would probably like to never have to hear the name LeVar Ball again.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like organizationally for the Lakers, like, are they equipped to deal with this? Should this be something that they're concerned about if they have, like, the top pick? And maybe they really like Lonzo. Maybe they like him as much as Markelle Fultz. But they say, hey, Markelle Fultz's dad isn't going on national TV every single day to say why Lonzo sucks, you know?
Right. I'll start by just saying yes. I don't think yes to answer your question that I think this affects whether or not I want the Lakers to draft him. I don't think the Lakers are organizationally equipped to deal with LeVar Ball, to be completely 100% honest.
Okay.
We'll start there. Do you agree or disagree?
I mean, to be honest, I think that they could handle it. I think it's the type of thing where they're just going to ignore it. And yeah, it'll be annoying, but how much damage can he really do?
I would say he could do quite a bit of damage, and it's because Lonzo would be joining a similarly young and unproven core.
I guess the way he does damage is if he starts to turn the fan base against other players on the team because he's going on the radio after games saying, like, oh, you know, if D'Angelo Russell would just stop shooting so much and pass the ball to my son, the Lakers would be in a good place. Or, like, oh, if the Lakers didn't have so many white guys on the team, they'd be better. Or because I guess I looked that up after our show the other day. Real thing LeVar Ball said about UCLA.
Yeah, I honestly, that was an honest to God actual thing he said.
That's amazing. I was debating whether or not to cut it from the pod because I thought you were just confused. But nope, it was real.
Nope. So the other thing, so those are things that he could do publicly. But you don't think behind closed doors he wouldn't, you know, try to pressure Lonzo to the forefront of every offensive set that's that gets designed, every picture that gets taken, he wants Lonzo front and center? Like, you don't think that would happen either?
I mean, I think it would be obnoxious. It would be like the type of helicopter parent stuff that nobody really wants to deal with. But I don't know how damaging that could be.
For me, the Lakers right now are completely rebuilding their organization. Right? We talked about that last show. And
yeah,
Luke Walton is a second-year head coach. Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka are first-year NBA executives. Like, this isn't like the Spurs factory that if LeVar shows up and starts acting a fool, Popovich would maybe actually send him to, like, Juarez. Right? Like, he would – that – with the Spurs and while surrounded by the veteran, you know, presence that is throughout that roster and throughout the entire organization – I would feel a lot more comfortable about LeVar. And actually, by the way, like, wouldn't that be cool to have Lonzo a Spur? Like, doesn't he feel like perfect as a Spur?
I would love to see how Greg Popovich dealt with LeVar Ball.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
I think you just implied that Greg Popovich has like an off-site torture facility, though, which I'm like a little worried about from a legal standpoint. Can you just say you were kidding?
Totally kidding.
And just so that we don't get, like, sent there.
Dang it, you can't make me laugh. All right. but yeah, so with the points that I raised, though, about the organizational newness of the Lakers across the entire organization, I just don't see the type of, like, it'd be one thing if Kobe was still there and LeVar tried to act a fool with Kobe still on the roster because Kobe might actually murder LeVar. But with what's going on right now with the Lakers, I just don't think they're equipped enough to be able to deal with that. Like, if they get the number one overall pick, I would either them draft Fultz or trade the pick outright. Because to be completely honest, I just LeVar Ball, and again, I admitted at the front end of this that my bias is a little bit tainted because I don't like the guy. And I'll at least cop to that. But with what's going on with the Lakers, I just don't think they're equipped right now to deal with this guy and his presence and what he would mean to the as a headache to the organization. I just don't think it's worth the risk. I don't think Lonzo is this kind of can't-miss player that you say, all right, I'll deal with LeVar anyway. I mean, at the very top of the draft. Like, if Lonzo slips to, like, out of the top 10, then that's madness because he is a good enough prospect to where
he's not going
to
slip out of the top 10. Right. Let's be clear.
Right. Yeah.
He's not going to slip out of it. It's very unlikely he slips out of the top 2.
Right. Well, no, I don't think that's true because, like, Philadelphia, they have a similar situation going on over there where Joel Embiid is going to be playing in ostensibly his second year. Ben Simmons is going to be
I would be so excited for the Joel Embiid trolling LeVar Ball on social media and LeVar just like not understanding what was going on.
It would be incredible. But you have Ben Simmons playing his rookie season. You have, in theory, if the Lakers lose their pick, the 76ers could have another top 5 pick being added to that roster. So that's a group of really, really young players who now also have to deal with this Lonzo Ball sideshow that, again, I just don't know if you have such a young grouping there that it's workable, you know? And for all of these players, situation is so important for any
I might player. Be underrating the human element of it. I think that's fair. I think maybe there are real emotional or mental taxes of having somebody like that around and having to deal with reporters constantly asking you about LeVar mm-hmm. Ball's latest comments. I guess I can see I guess I can understand that.
Now, for Boston, Boston to me is an interesting one because they have a bunch of veterans on their team. They are already a title contending team. Their front office has been in place and is very well trusted by everybody in the surrounding area. And if LeVar Ball tries to go over there and act a fool, then I think he would be quieted very quickly by either the organization or the fan base, just telling him, dude, we were already really good without you. We could trade you, and we don't need to deal with your headache.
He'd be the one that finally got Brad Stevens to snap and, like, say something mean or rude.
Fiddlesticks!
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say for the Lakers, I hate doing this because it's such cheap and honestly bad analysis, but my analysis is tainted by the fact that I don't like
them. No, I think that's fair. In a case like this, your analysis doesn't get changed by what LeVar can do for you on the court or something. It's one thing if, like, you don't like a player or like the way he acts, but, like, he's still a good player, and you still let the, like, how they've interacted with you or how they've interacted in the past cloud your analysis. Like, this guy is like the Joe Jackson of NBA parents, mm-hmm. You know? Like, he's not bringing any benefit to the product that you want to see. He's just potentially detracting from it.
Right. And again, and the unfortunate thing here is, like we said, Lonzo seems like a very good kid. He's a very, very talented player. I really enjoyed watching him at UCLA this year. The game that he played against Oregon, where his shot wasn't necessarily falling and he wound up D'ing up their best player, like that to me told me, all right, future NBA superstar. Now, he winds up getting lit up by De'Aaron Fox in the NCAA tournament, and however else that played out. But the unfortunate thing, and this is something that I hope LeVar Ball wakes up to, is that he is potentially we already know he's costing his son money by not allowing him to sign with a Nike or with an Under Armour or Adidas, whatever. And with this with this big baller brand experiment, it potentially has already cost Lonzo upwards of $3 million per year for the first few years of his NBA career. What I hope is that he wakes up and realizes by saying stupid things like he keeps on saying that he might also be costing his son the situation he gets to play in and the money that comes along with being drafted higher in the NBA draft. And if he winds up costing his son the opportunity to be a Laker, hopefully that's enough to get this guy to wake up and say, all right, I need to stop living vicariously through my son. I need to take a step back and really realize I have two more sons coming. I have to be really cognizant of what I could also be costing them in the future as well.
I guess I'm just a pessimist, and I don't see him, like, learning lessons like this. I think that they're going to continue to see their names in the headlines and have people talk about them, and that, I think to LeVar Ball, that's a success.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I'm, like I said, though, also, here's where nuance is hard, because I also said that I enjoyed him saying that about Kobe, because I like the honesty, but I also think that honesty is costing him. Both those things can be true. That does it on the LeVar Ball stuff. The Magic Johnson stuff is very interesting. It's something to really keep an eye on moving forward because the Lakers have some big, big decisions to make this upcoming offseason. This has done it for this Friday episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us despite my terrible voice, despite me missing the show. We have a pretty fun week lined up for you guys next week, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We aren't going to do any kind of jinxing here, though. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law. Happy Mother's Day to my sister-in-law and to my wife, who is the mother of our dog. And everybody enjoy your weekend. Harrison, wish everybody happy Mother's Day as well.
All right, happy Mother's Day, everybody, especially you, Mom. I know you're definitely listening.
Have a good one, everybody. Today's show is brought to you by BloomThat.com. Go to BloomThat.com/Lakers to take advantage of all the great promotional offers that they have going on over there.
Now have a good one, everybody.